Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm into my second week of teaching on how to fulfill your destiny, and I tell you, I am really excited about this. When I start talking about destiny and God's purpose for my life, I don't know how to express that, but boy, it just fires me up. Living with a sense of destiny, knowing that you aren't an accident, is just, I mean, it makes you feel special. It sets you apart from, you know, there's billions of people in this world, and sometimes you get this herd mentality to where you're just one of the cattle among millions, amen, and what significance is there to your life? These are some of the things that people deal with. And they get to feeling insignificant, and who cares? And what's the purpose to my life? But once you discover that you aren't a surprise to God, that God knows you down to how many hairs are on your head, He knows everything about you. As it says over in Psalms 139, before you were even formed, He knew all of your parts, and they were all written down in His book. God knows everything about you. God created you with a purpose and with a destiny. And once you begin to start getting aware of that, and then once you get a revelation of what it is that God wants you to do and how your little part fits into the overall scheme of things, I tell you, it makes you feel special. It gives you a significance. It makes you excited when you wake up in the morning because, man, you feel like you've got something to do. And sad to say, I meet so many people that just don't have a sense of destiny. They don't know what God's purpose is. They're just muddling through their life and wondering, does it make any difference? When you're gone, is anybody going to miss you? You know, that's a sad thing, and I know that some of you don't even like to think about this, and you're bothered by me bringing it up. But you need to confront it. This is not a dress rehearsal. We aren't practicing for the real thing. This is the only day today that you are going to have today. I mean, you're going to either make something good out of it or you're going to waste that time. It is super important that you find out that God has a destiny, a purpose for your life, and then you start fulfilling it. And it's not only important for you, but it's important for everybody else. There are people that God has anointed you to touch and to affect their life. And if you aren't there to do it, well, then who's going to do it? Well, God cannot come up with a plan B or a plan C. And I don't understand exactly how God does all this. You know, one of the questions I've had over the millions and millions and millions of babies that have been aborted, that God had a destiny, a purpose for their life, and they aren't there to fulfill it. And how does that affect us? You know, these are things that are beyond, I believe, human ability to comprehend and project and think. But I can guarantee it does have an effect on us. It does affect our world, and God has to raise up other people and do things. And like, for instance, David in the Old Testament, King David, wasn't God's first choice. I dealt with that last week, that if Saul would have obeyed God, Samuel told him, today God would have established your throne over this nation forever. And there never would have been King David. We wouldn't have ever heard about him. And yet, that was God's plan B. And yet, look how wonderful David turned out. Look at the Psalms that David wrote. Look at the contribution that he's still making to people today by his influence in the life that he lived, both good and bad. But when he did something bad, he repented of it. And God uses that to instruct people. You know, we really can't imagine what it would have been like if Saul would have obeyed God and have fulfilled his purpose. But God was able to get his purposes done some other way. I don't understand all of this, but I do know that every one of us have a destiny, and you aren't going to feel fulfilled and significant until you find out what God's destiny for your life is, and there are people that God has ordained you to be a part of their life. And if you don't fulfill what God has called you to do, that is not only going to affect you, it's going to affect other people. You know, with me, my life, sometimes it's more obvious with a minister But the same thing holds true with everybody else. But let me just use myself as an example, that God has called me to do what I'm doing. I know that He has. I know that I'm where God wants me to be. I'm not sure I'm doing it perfectly. I'm trying to follow God, but you know what? I've never done much anything perfectly. God never has anybody qualified working for Him yet. But I know I'm doing what God called me to do. And if I was to just, for whatever reason, just quit, and if I was to fall into sin or not seek the Lord and just let Satan come and destroy me and kill this ministry, and, you know, if I was to let those things happen, there are so many things that happen. For one thing, I've got 200 employees right here that, you know what, they are fulfilling their destiny through being a part of this team and helping us get the word out. It would affect every one of them. And then the people that I minister to, there's a potential of 2.2 billion people that can watch this program. Not all of those watch it by any stretch of the imagination, but there are millions of people that watch this program on a regular basis. And I get testimonies of how lives are changed. You know what? It would affect them. Now, is that to say that I'm indispensable? Nope. God will raise up somebody else. God can do something else. There could be a David come up if I don't follow through and do what God calls me to do. But I don't want anybody else to fulfill my destiny. I want to do what God called me to do. And every one of you, whether it's as obvious as it is with me or not, every one of you have people that are depending upon you. If nothing else, family members, people that you work with, neighbors, the people at your church, the people that you do business with when you go into a store. You could go in and just change a person's day by being nice to them instead of being like everybody else and gripe and complain. Every one of us have people that God has ordained for us to touch. And you know what? It's imperative that you find out what that destiny is and begin to start living with a sense of destiny and purpose upon your life. This is really what changed my life. And what I want to get into today, took a long time to get there, but what I really want to get into today are the scriptures, the very first scriptures that God ever gave me by what I call revelation knowledge. You know, I was able to quote entire books of the Bible, and I memorized scripture when I was a young boy and things like that. I could quote a lot of scripture, but the first time that God just spoke to me supernaturally through Scripture and gave me direction for my life. That's what I call revelation knowledge. Not just knowledge like you memorize a verse, but where it came out of my heart, where the Holy Spirit quickened it to me and it came alive. The very first scriptures that God used to change my life are Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And that says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And the Lord gave those verses to me. He spoke that to me over Christmas time of 1967. And those verses just came alive to me. Now, I have to back up just a little bit and say this. You know, there are reasons why the Word of God comes alive to some people and it's a closed, dead book to other people. It's not because there's any fault with the Word. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is quick. That means alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirits and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is powerful. But you know what? The condition of your heart can harden you to it so that you can hear scriptures and it just goes in one ear and out the other like it has water off a duck's back. It just doesn't penetrate. It doesn't have any impact. Or you can have a sensitive heart to where, man, just one scripture can explode like a bomb on the inside of you. And in my life, I had basically just been, you know, going through life like a typical young kid up until the time that I got ready to graduate from high school. And as we were approaching graduation from high school, they started having career days and they started having people come in and say, "What are you going to do with the rest of your life?" Prior to that time, I never really had to confront this. because my life was chosen for me. I knew I had to go through high school. I had to finish 12 years worth of education, and I honestly hadn't thought beyond that. I was just a typical kid goofing around, playing around with your friends. I was involved in sports. I was doing things just like anybody else, and I hadn't thought about my future. But when they came in and started talking about you're going to graduate, you're going to have to go to college, you're going to have to make a decision about what are you going to do, you're going to have to start making choices about what courses you take, and to do that, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? And the one thing that I had just ground into me, and I believe this, I never had a question about this. Never have I ever doubted that God had a purpose for my life. Now, prior to that time, I hadn't given it any consideration, but I just always believed that God had a purpose for my life. And when they started talking about these things, all of a sudden I realized that, you know what, I don't want to just do something because it's convenient. Like in school, my best subject was math. I've always done really well at math. And so when I started in college, just out of a default, I had to choose something. I made math my major, and I started taking all of these calculus, trigonometry courses and stuff like that. And I was just doing it because it was something I enjoyed doing. But I didn't have any call of God. I didn't know for sure that this is what He had called me to do. And so at the latter part of my senior year in high school, and then all the way through my first year in college, I got serious about seeking God and asking Him what His purpose for my life was. And I could go through a lot of details, but I mean, I was serious. And I mean, I spent hours and hours every day studying the Word and praying. And God, what do you want me to do? I know that there has to be a specific purpose, not just, I don't go out here and just do whatever I want to do. I want to know, what did you make me for? And it took me about a year, probably up to 18 months of seeking the Lord and asking for direction. And what is your purpose for my life? And I came to December of 1960, what would this have been, 67. I graduated from high school in May of 67, and it was December of that same year. I came across this scripture that I just read to you, Romans chapter 12, where He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, etc. And then in the latter part of verse 2, it says, do this and you will prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. And when I read that, I mean, it's just like a light went off on the inside of me. It's like something happened on the inside. And these words, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, it just hit me. It was like somebody struck a gong or something, you know. And I mean, man, it just reverberated all the way through me. And I said, that's it. That's what I wanted to know, was what was God's will for my life. And it says, if you do these things, you will prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So one of the very first things I did was look up the word prove. And the word prove means to declare or make evident to the physical senses. And see, I believe that God had a purpose for me. I believe that it was in me somewhere, preordained. Everything about me was created for a specific purpose. I believed all of those things, and I believed that it was here someplace, but it certainly wasn't evident to my physical senses. And when I read that and saw that the word prove means to make or declare evident to the physical senses the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God, then it was like, this is it. I have been for 18 months seeking, God, what is your will? What's your destiny for my life? And all of a sudden, here it was, a promise that I do what it says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and I will prove. I'll make it manifest to my physical senses what God's will is. And when I saw that, it was just like, man, all of my attention just zeroed in. All of my focus came to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I've just backtracked. I said, in the latter part of that second verse, this is what I want, is to know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, what was it that it said there in those first two verses that I have to do in order to prove, make manifest the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? And from December of 1967 until March the 23rd of 1968, I was just focused. I was preoccupied, dominated with Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And I was saying, God, what does this mean? Again, let me go through that. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. This is one of the very first things that God spoke to me as I was contemplating, God, what is it that you want me to do? Paul started his statement here by saying, I am beseeching you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice. Prior to that time, I always had the concept that if you submit yourself to God 100%, God is going to do something bad to you. God is going to make you do something that is going to be tragic. You're going to lose all of your potential. And I got a lot of this because the missionaries and people that came through would talk about how hard it was, and they presented it as this terrible thing, and they weren't living in real victory, and all they did was magnify the hardships and didn't give a real strong witness. And I honestly thought that if you turned your life over to the Lord, it was going to hurt you. But here Paul was saying, by the mercy of God, I want you to present your body a living sacrifice. And I began to start realizing that God's will for my life was better than my will for my life. God's plans for me were better than my plans for myself. Again, I go back and refer to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, where he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God's thoughts, His plans for you, His destiny for you is better than your plan for yourself. You know, there may be some of you that think, well, no way. Like we showed already this destiny, one of these destiny stories that I played last week. We showed about the Forgestons, and Russ Forgeston was a very successful chiropractor, had multiple chiropractors working under him and had a very successful business, was making money, was respected by people. But you know what? That wasn't his destiny. And he gave it up. And he gave away his practice and came to Caris Bible College. And God laid it on his heart. Now he and his son and his daughter-in-law are in India, and they are affecting people's lives. And I haven't got time to go through it, but we've already shown this DVD. And the satisfaction and the fulfillment and the joy and the peace of knowing that they're doing what God told them to do. He's over there in a place to where he's one white man in the midst of all of these black faces, and he looks out of pocket. Some people would think, you gave up your successful practice, you gave up this money, you gave up all of these things, and now you're over on the other side of the world. He loves it. Man, I've talked to him. He is so happy. He is so excited. You know, if you just look at things in the natural, if anybody's watching this program who doesn't know Jesus, who doesn't have His Spirit enlightening them, you're just looking at things only from a physical, human perspective. You listen to what I'm saying and you think, this is absolutely crazy that people would give up a six-figure, seven-figure income to go and you know, minister to people and just live off of donations, whatever it is that people want to give you. And you're going over there and you're facing hardship and disease and you're doing things. This is crazy. To the natural mind, it may be crazy. But I tell you what, once you understand God and once you have the fulfillment and the joy and the peace of seeing a person's life changed, I tell you, there's nothing that compares to it. You know, there's millions of people that God has allowed me to touch, but there's certain people that have just, I've seen such a change in their life that I go back and every time I think about it, I tell you what, it does something to you to know that because you are doing what God told you to do, this person is alive today. This marriage has been healed. This person is going to spend eternity in heaven. People's lives are changed because of what you're doing. There is no amount of money that can do that. And this ought to be evident, but it's not to a lot of people. We have people today lusting after the Hollywood movie stars or the Wall Street moguls, and they want all of this influence and they want this fame and this popularity. And yet look at most of these people. Some of them during this recent economic downturn committed suicide because their finances dried up. They didn't have any reserves. They didn't have any inner peace. There are people that have all of the acclaim. They are being lauded by people. People pay big money to watch their movies and stuff, and yet these people's lives are a mess. They're drunks. They're alcoholics. Their marriages fall apart. Nothing is working for them. I'm telling you that there is nothing like finding God's will. Paul said, by the mercies of God, I'm beseeching you to make yourself a living sacrifice. If you would turn your life over and find out God's purpose for your life, I guarantee you it would be the best thing for you that ever happened. Not only talking about the people that God wants to use you to impact and to help them and to touch their life, but it would be the best thing for you. And I don't care if you have to give up money. I don't care if you have to give up fame and recognition. I don't care if your family understands and rejects you and turns against you and ridicules you. Doesn't matter what the price is that you pay. I'm telling you that God created you for a purpose. And by the mercy of God, I'm beseeching you. That means I'm begging you. I'm imploring you to find out what God's purpose for your life is. Don't just assume that God is somehow or another going to make your life conform to what He wants it to be. No, you need to get clear direction from God. You need to know what God called you to do. You need to find it, and then you need to get to doing it. And you do it regardless of what the consequences are, regardless of whether it's financially profitable, regardless of whether there's fear attached to it. You know, right after the September the 11th attacks, one of my good friends, a big partner to this ministry, called, had his daughter on the line, and she had a trip planned to go to Afghanistan because she was, I think, a medical, some kind of a medical nurse, or anyway, she was a medical person, and she had a missions trip to Afghanistan planned. And this is just like a week after the September the 11th attacks, and she was going right into the hotbed of where these terrorists were training. And so my partner called and says, tell her, don't go. Tell her this is crazy. Tell her not to do it. So I got her on the phone and I talked to her and I asked her, I said, is this what God wants you to do? She says, I'm absolutely sure of it. And you know what I did? Against my friend, against a great partner, a big contributor to the ministry, I told him, I said, she will be safer in the center of God's will, doing what God tells her to do, then she will stay in here in the States and operating out of fear. And you know, she went, was safe, God protected her, everything worked out. In contrast to that, I can tell you about one of our Bible college students that her husband did not want her to fly to England with us on the very first missions trip that we took about 1995. And so she stayed home and she died in a car wreck right here in Colorado Springs. You know what? She would have been safer being in the center of God's will in a foreign land than to be out of what God told you to do because you're operating in fear. I'm just telling you, it's for your own good. By the mercies of God, I'm beseeching you that you need to find out what God wants you to do and then do it. And I promise you, not only will you be blessed, but everybody else will be blessed as you begin to start fulfilling that place. This is really simple what I'm saying, but you don't hear this very often. This is counterculture. Most of us are encouraged to go out and satisfy all of your lusts. Take care of yourself. Think about yourself. I'm telling you by the mercies of God that yourself will be more pleased finding God's will and yielding and doing what God wants you to do than you just doing your own thing. Now, I've got a lot of materials on this. Today we're offering our second teaching in our How to Fulfill Your Destiny series. The second teaching is entitled Becoming a Living Sacrifice. And if you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you information about how you can get these materials and call or write today.
We're happy to announce that Destiny Stories Volume 1 is now available. Contained on one powerful DVD are the stories of real people who dared to believe that God had an exciting destiny for their lives. You'll be inspired and transformed as you hear their stories. Destiny Stories is available for a gift of any amount. Request DVD T3006D. Andrew's teachings played a central role in each of these Destiny Stories. Today, we're offering Andrew's four-part teaching titled, How to Fulfill Your Destiny. This teaching will help you discover your God-given destiny and teach you to walk in it. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1051C or DVD album T1051D when you contact us. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The second teaching in the CD album titled Becoming a Living Sacrifice is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second teaching free of charge. Request teaching THT120C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Once again, I'd like to really encourage you to please get these products that we're offering. This teaching on how to fulfill your destiny was done at a minister's conference, and I was talking to ministers. I tell you, we had a tremendous response to this. And so this is a CD set, and then I also have this new DVD album that we've put out. There's four testimonies on here. We call them the Destiny Stories, Volume 1. And we've already shown you this family who has gone to India. I made reference to them today. I tell you, this is a powerful, powerful testimony. We've already played Nicola Appleby's testimony, and she's now in Russia. I mean, a beautiful young lady who had a promising career, gave everything up to go over to a place that is just hard on us Americans to fit into that culture. And she is thriving, and God is blessing her. We also have other testimonies on here. It'll be a blessing to you, so please call or write today.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. Or you can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth Seminar June 11th through the 13th, in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference June 29th through July 3rd, and in South Africa for a Gospel Truth Seminar July 21st through the 23rd. He'll also be in Durant, Oklahoma July 30th and 31st, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 6th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
You aren't going to see God's will come to pass in your life with one foot in the gospel and one foot out, with you just half-heartedly serving God. It's not going to happen until you get ready to make yourself a living sacrifice and commit yourself to God with everything you've got. If you aren't willing to turn your life completely over to God and give Him everything, talking about career, talking about all of your lust and your desires. Maybe you really want to do this, and this is what you've always wanted to do with your life, but you feel God wants you to go in another direction.